Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 24. And I'd like to dismiss the children to Children's Church. Luke chapter 24 and verse 44 through 47 is our main text today. And while you're finding that, I just want to give you a picture of December. We've got the Jody McBrayer concert next week, as I mentioned, and then on the 9th, we're having the evening off so that our life groups can have their Christmas fellowships. And so I encourage you to find out, and life groups, y'all make sure and plan a wonderful Christmas celebration with your group. I think this is something that will be very, very special, and we've done this a number of years, and it's been very helpful to release a little bit of the schedule pressure and allow our groups to meet for fellowships. And so I encourage you to do that on December the 9th. Then the next week, the 16th, is the annual Smoky Mountain Christmas concert with the Prevett family. And this was one of our largest attendances of the entire year last year, if not the largest. And people, I'm telling you, people, the word is out on this thing. I remember there was a sandwich shop in Jacksonville. They wanted to do an advertisement on it, and the owner of the sandwich shop said, "We have too many people. We can't service the people that come to our sandwich shop." They said, "So if you want to do the article, you can do the article. Just don't tell them where we are." Now, I'm not to that point yet with the Smoky Mountain. You invite everybody. Let's pack this place. But I'm telling you, if we keep going in the trend we're going, you won't be able, we'll have to have a remote setup somewhere else. So you better be here early for the Smoky Mountain Christmas. Then the next week is a Sunday night. We are going to move our Sunday night service on the 23rd to Monday night the 24th because it's Christmas Eve, and we're going to have our annual candlelight Christmas Lord's Supper service. So that's kind of the way our Sundays are working out. Of course, on Sunday mornings, we'll have life groups and Sunday morning worship on each of those Sundays. But those are the special events that we're doing in the evenings, and I wanted you to be aware of that. We have all kinds of people here at North Central. All people are welcome here, every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have been married for a long time, some not so long. Some have kids, some don't have kids. Many here today are believers, but not all. But we're all sitting here today, and we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. Because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one, not just here at the church, but outside of the church walls, for the purpose of intentionally making disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Can I say this? Jesus is wonderful. I tell you, I want you to know that this Christmas time is a time of giving. And one of the things we do in our church is we emphasize missions giving. We're about to make that emphasis in our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. But why do we make that plea for a world missions offering? Well, when you look at the big picture of the Bible, you realize that God is a missionary God. Can I say that again? God is a missionary God. By the way, my heart is so full. I've been thinking all day this morning, and I was thinking about it this week as I was preparing for this. I'm so grateful that there were missionaries that came to me. Now, they weren't, quote, missionaries that crossed a culture, but they were living witnesses that came to me. They came after me. That's what the scripture teaches us to do, is to go after people with love and to tell them about Christ. As a teenage boy, I had people doing that in my life. Some family members, some people at my church. Even though I was in a church, I was attending a church, I was not a believer in Jesus Christ. And people were after me to share with me about Jesus and his plan for my life. I'm so grateful for that. Getting the good news to people is God's heart. We need the big picture of God's redemption story. We're going to take a little break from our joy series in Philippians, okay? We're going to talk today about God's the big picture, and then we're going to talk about Christmas moving up, and then we'll get right back into our Philippians study. And I'm excited about what God is teaching us through that study in Philippians. But today we're talking about the big picture of God's redemption story. You know, the whole story, congregation of the Bible, is the redemption story. We see God's desire to see all peoples come to know him, and we see that throughout all of Scripture. God is on a mission to extend his grace and glory to all peoples. Now, I want you to repeat after me. Say this out loud, okay? God is on a mission to extend his grace and glory to all peoples. Let me say that again. God is on a mission to extend his grace and glory to all peoples. Now, I want you to look at what Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 47, all right? Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." So here was all of this that was written back in the Old Testament concerning Christ. By the way, this is right before Jesus ascends. We are about to go into the Advent season. The Lord comes to the earth. But then, you know, there was the ascension. There was the Advent, and then there was the ascension. Jesus went with his disciples. He was at the place in Jerusalem with his disciples after the resurrection, and these are the words that he said to them. He told them all these things must be fulfilled. Now look at verse 45. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. And I'm praying that would be that would happen to us today as we look at God's Word. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Now get this, verse 47. "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to the Jews." Right? That's not what it says. That it should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Congregation, as you study Scripture, you realize that it's not just in the New Testament, but it's in the Old Testament. God is a missionary God. Now, he chose Israel, he chose his people, but he chose them in order for them to be a blessing, that all the nations of the earth might be blessed in them. It was God's intention from the very beginning to be a missionary God and to seek out those that needed to know him and have a relationship with him. I want you to take your Bibles and turn back to the book of Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And I have most of these put in my book here, but I don't have this one. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. We see this in the New Testament, but did you know that we see, number one, a foundation in the Old Testament? If you follow along in your listening guide in the bulletin, this is our very first foundational point, a foundation in the Old Testament from Genesis 12, 1 through 3. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, talking to Abram, in you all the families, and you could argue that that root of that word is the same root as the word nations in Matthew, or people groups, that all the families or people groups of the earth shall be blessed. It was God's intention. Folks, this is Genesis 12. Now, we know from Genesis chapter 11 that the Lord scattered the people. You know, they had clumped together and they wanted to build the tower, and they were going to all stay together, and the Lord confused their language to scatter them. In the end of chapter 11, one wonders, was God going to leave them scattered? Was God going to leave them lost? Sin had entered into his creation. It had alienated man, God and man. And so was God going to scatter them on the earth to make them have dominion on the earth and just leave them to themselves in sin? The answer is no. God chose Abram and he said, I want you to get up and go from your place. And I want you to go a place you don't even know of, because in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He chose a people to bless all the nations. People have called this the Old Testament Great Commission. You know, the Great Commission in Matthew 28, Jesus said, all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Well, that is the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This is what people have called the Old Testament Great Commission right here in this passage. So we see that God intended for Abram and Israel to be a blessing to all the nations. God announced to a waiting world that was scattered that he wanted to bless them. He wants to use others to do it. Now, God worked with his people. He delivered his people from Egypt, and the law was given. You know that that in Deuteronomy chapter 4, there's so many verses that I have here, but just if you're writing the references down, you can check them. You can look at them yourself. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, it mentions that the law was given as a testimony even to the nations. It says, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that God is so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? And what great nation is there that such statutes and righteous judgments are as are in all the law which I set before you this day? So we see that even the law, God used the law in the Old Testament to be a testimony to the nations. But what did God's people do? They continued to sin. Well, guess what we have in the Old Testament? We have a bunch of prophets. God sent prophets to get the attention of his people. He kept intending for his people to be a blessing to the nations and get the message of God's redemption to the nations, but they kept on in sin. You know, God sent the prophets to get the attention of his people. In Joshua chapter 4, the scripture says this, Joshua 4, 23, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan, listen, before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. And listen, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. And so Joshua was saying, look, why did God do all this to get our attention? He did it to get our attention so that it might be a testimony to the nations. The Great Commission, the redemption missionary heart of God was in the Old Testament. Now, is that making sense? Shake your head. Okay, it is. It's making sense to you. Well, at least to three of you. Thank you, Lord. It's making sense to three of you. That's great. Hey, listen, Isaiah preached. He preached to the people of God, and he predicted that God's power would cause the Egyptians to worship him in the 8th century B.C. The scripture says in the passage, it says in Isaiah chapter 19, verses 19 through 25. I'm just going to read verse 21. It says this, "Then the Lord will be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day. I will make sacrifice and offering." Yes, they will make a vow to the Lord and perform it. And so here you have Isaiah making that statement in his prophecy that the Egyptians would worship the Lord and they would make a vow to the Lord and perform it. The Old Testament is filled with these references of God's heart for the world. And then you have passages in the scripture called the writings. A lot of this is from the book of Psalms. You have some in Proverbs. Listen to Psalms chapter 67, verses 1 and 2. Psalms 67, verses 1 and 2. It says this, "God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us." Selah, verse 2. "That your way may be known on earth, your salvation among some nations, all nations." Y'all, this is from the Old Testament. This is from the writings. You know, we have in Psalm 146 through Psalm 150, those five different chapters of Scripture, you have the very last verse of the book of Psalm. "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." That would include all people. We see it in Daniel. In Daniel chapter 3, verses 28 and following, the scripture says that Nebuchadnezzar, after the three Hebrew children went into the fiery furnace, they said, "We're not going to bow down to the pagan god." And they said, "We will not bow down." And so they went into the fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar kept looking in there, and he kept going like this. He kept shaking his head and looking in that fire. And he, instead of seeing just three, he saw four people in the fire. And they said the fourth one was likened unto the Son of Man, the Son of God. And many believe that was the Lord Jesus himself. By the way, when you take a stand like that for the Lord, I believe the Lord's presence is right there beside you when you take a stand for the Lord in that way. And so after they came out of the fiery furnace untouched, here's what Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, said. He said, "Therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." Ezekiel rebuked God's people because they had been a bad testimony to those outside the faith. He rebuked God's people. Ezekiel did that as a prophet in Ezekiel chapter 36. Remember Jonah? Jonah who would not go. And many times we emphasize in Jonah that we are to be obedient to the Lord in going. But you know, the big picture of that is that God was having mercy on Nineveh. God was saying, I will allow Nineveh to come back to me if they will repent. Nineveh was a pagan city. And yet God had compassion on them. Can I tell you this? The Lord continued to deal with his people. And he, all along in the Old Testament, intended for Abram and his descendants, the people of God, to be a blessing to all the peoples of the earth. So we see it in the Old Testament. The Bible says in Galatians 4:4, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." So number one, we see a foundation in the Old Testament. Number two, we see this, a continuation in the New Testament. When Jesus spoke to the people, he said this to them, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." We know that in our Great Commission, Jesus commissioned the church to make disciples of all the nations, to make disciples of all the people. We saw in our initial passage that we read that Jesus said before his ascension, "I want you to know you are witnesses of these things." All of this had to happen so that it could be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. When Jesus was on the earth, Jesus ministered to Gentiles and Jews alike. You remember the Samaritan woman? The Jews would have never ministered to the Samaritan woman, but Jesus did. By his own lifestyle, Jesus was for all the nations, and he continued to do that in all of the work that he did. In John chapter 20, verse 21, he said this to his disciples. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." The book of Acts is the story of God sent people to go all over the world. The church began in Jerusalem. They say that James, the half-brother of Jesus, was the pastor at the church at Jerusalem. They had the Jerusalem council there. The gospel began to spread to the Gentiles. You remember the story. And Paul was a missionary, went on three missionary journeys. Paul took the gospel to the people of the known world at that time, and the word got back to Jerusalem that the Gentiles, non-Jews, were coming to Christ. And they said, wait a minute, they've got to become Jews first. They said, no, they don't. And they had a Jerusalem council in Acts chapter 15, and they concluded, no, the gospel was for all people. You did not have to become a Jew before you could come to Jesus Christ. So we see the whole book of Acts is the church on mission, sending people and leaving and going and taking the gospel to all the world. God is a missionary God. God is on a mission to extend his grace and glory to all peoples. And then we see Paul. In Paul's life, we see it. We see it when Jesus commissioned his church at the end of Matthew and in Acts 1:8, which we've read. We also see in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, the scripture says this, "And they sang a new song, saying," who was the they? "And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood." And then it says this, "out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." This is God's story. God is on a mission to extend his grace and glory to all peoples. So church, this is why we have to be a missionary church. It does not make sense if we were to become a church and all we did was gather right here with no thought of those out there. It would not even make sense. Matter of fact, I don't even know if we could call this a church if we did that. So this is why we give. Now, we call our missions offering the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for missions. You know, one of the things, church family, I'm going to slow down just a minute. One of the things, church family, that I love about our church is that we have all generations here. We've got people that have been in this church since we got folks here from the 1940s. Brother Fred and others. Brother Fred was a wee. But hey, listen, we got folks from all generations here. But we also have new folks. If you are new to our church within the last 2 years, I just want you to raise your hand. New to our church the last 2 years, okay? Pretty good number of folks. How about the last 3 years? Three or less, raise your hand. All right, good. Okay, now can I say this? Some of our folks, if I say to you we have the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, they go, "What is that? Who is Lottie Moon?" I'm glad you asked. Can I tell you this? Lottie Moon, I'll just tell you the quick story. Lottie Moon was a missionary to China. She was a Baptist missionary to China. She was born in 1840 in Albemarle County, Virginia, December the 12th, 1840. She was saved at age 18. The great preacher John Broadus. Some of y'all have heard that name, man. This guy is a Southern Baptist hero. in terms of the seminaries and as a pastor. Anyway, he was the preacher and encourager when she came to know Christ as Lord and Savior. She was a missionary. Lottie Moon was a single girl. She was a missionary to China for 39 years. She was 4'3", a ball of fire, I'm sure. I mean, she was up for the job. She died on a ship coming home on Christmas Eve, 1914. Now, here's what happened to Lottie Moon. Lottie Moon was always wanting to raise funds and send more missionaries overseas. And so she had written letters. Lottie Moon had written letters from China back to the States saying, hey, could y'all send some resources? And as the history goes, in 1888, she raised $3,315 to send three new missionaries to China. Boy, you could get three missionaries on the field for $3,000 to China. She went through hardship. She went through persecution for much of her service. There was a lot of the time that she served that there was no one there that spoke English around her at all. Revolution in China broke out in 1911, and the people said, the leaders of the mission said, hey, I want y'all to get to a port town. I want you to be ready to get out of China because there's a revolution coming and there's going to be war and bloodshed. And she refused. She stayed. Others were told to leave and some did, but she decided to stay. She served young girls and she told them about Christ and she taught them. She also served in hospitals. When the work at the hospital was in good hands, she was to come home. She was to leave China for a brief time. And so, as the story goes, they made a phone call to all the people in war. The word got to the people in war. They said, Miss Lottie is going to come through the war zone at this particular time. And they kind of guessed the time that she was going to come through. And so, when Miss Lottie got to the place where there was all kind of battles going on, this is how respected she was, both those that were fighting against one another on both sides put down their arms and they let her walk through. It was an amazing, amazing story. She heard the missionary call at First Baptist Church of Cartersville, Georgia, February of 1873. On July the 7th of 1873, she was appointed by the Foreign Mission Board. She helped raise money for missions and suggested a Christmas offering for missions. She made that suggestion that there be a Christmas offering for missions. After she died, it was suggested that they call that Christmas offering the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering, and the rest is history. Now, folks, in our church, we're an autonomous church. This church, no one other than the authority of the church is vested in you. You made me the pastor here. It's your fault. Okay? You made me the pastor here. But there's nobody from Jacksonville or Nashville or some office somewhere else that calls us up and says, you got to do this, you got to do that. We're an autonomous church. However, we choose as a church, and we've always done this since 1935. I read the history. Mr. Cheshire gave me a copy of the history of our church. Oh, man, you're talking about missionary people. Anyway, all through that history, we have voluntarily cooperated with what is called the Southern Baptist Convention. One of the reasons we do that is because we like the way they do things. We like the way they train and send missionaries. They equip them, they send them. Matt and Jess Seitz in our church right now are in that process of working with the IMB, becoming missionaries out of our church. Amen? Isn't that awesome? They're doing that, okay? There are others. We've had others go as journeymen. We've had others go. We've had staff members go. Some of y'all remember a minister of music we had named Larry McFadden. Larry McFadden has been going overseas for about 15 years. I went with him last year to Nicaragua and to Belize. He's in his 70s. He liked to kill me because he said, Calvin, we're going to preach six times a day. Well, I'm wore out after preaching to y'all once. Well, I preached three times. I would preach, he would preach. I would preach, he would preach. I would preach, he would preach. And then we'd go home, we'd crash. We'd get up the next day and do the same thing again with pastors. But God called him out. We've had other staff members. You know, remember Steve Creighton? He was my college pastor. God's taken him all over the world to share the gospel with people, working with our IMB and other organizations. There are so many others that have done that as well. You look on our board. Most of the people on our board out here have had a relationship with our church in some way. But she heard that missionary call, and we cooperate in that effort because we see the way missionaries are sent. We also like the fact that we have six seminaries that train people in the Word of God, and we help support that. So when we give to what we call our cooperative effort, it's called the cooperative program, a percentage of everything we give goes to help that endeavor. But at Christmas time, the Lottie Moon offering goes directly to international missions. Not only does the International Mission Board, the missionary sending agency, receive funds all year from us as a percentage of our giving, in Christmas time, everything they receive goes to the field, and so it goes directly to them. None of it stays in our state work, the work of North America. It doesn't go to the seminaries. It goes directly to international missions. I have a video I want you to see that explains a little bit about this missions effort, if you could show that at this time.
The world is broken, with billions living in darkness, striving to find hope on their own. That's why we go to sprawling cities, impoverished villages, and war-torn countries. We go because God is worthy of all worship, and we are His missionary people, sharing the only hope for this broken world, Jesus Christ. That is why we go. Since 1845, IMB has helped churches participate in God's global mission. And today, through IMB, churches are sending people from all walks of life to join limitless missionary teams in the rapidly growing global cities and the harder-to-access extremes like deserts, jungles, and war zones. From students to professionals, to retirees to full-time church planters, every Christian has a part to play. Your gifts to international missions make it possible for IMB to partner with local churches to equip ordinary Christians to make disciples and multiply churches among unreached people and places, fulfilling Christ's commission to declare His glory among the nations.
So, on the back of your bulletin, there are four blanks there, your response. And church family, I want you to think about this. God is a missionary God. God is on a mission to extend His grace and glory to all peoples. So number one, I would write in the blank, number one, pray. Pray for the world. Pray for those that do not know Christ. Pray for your neighbors that don't know Jesus. Pray for our missionaries, that God would use them around the world. The other thing I would say to you is to go. This next year, God willing, we've got some opportunities for people to take short-term mission trips. There may be those that can go for longer term. There may be those that can go spend their lives on the mission field. November the 1st, 1873, Lottie Moon wrote this letter back to a man that was in the States. Here's what she said. What we need in China is more workers. The harvest is very great. The laborers owe so few. Why does the Southern Baptist Church lag behind in this great work? I think your idea is correct, that a young man should ask himself not if it is his duty to go to the heathen, but if he may dare stay at home. The command is so plain. Go. So we are a sending people. Now, everybody in this church can't go. I understand that. You can go across the street. You can go to the person that you come in contact with at the checkout line, somebody that's in your family that needs Christ. All of us can go in that way, but maybe not all of us are going to go overseas. All right, I understand that. But I tell you, one thing we can do is we can make disciples, number three. We can make disciples of everyone we win to Christ here. And you know what happens when disciples are made? People go. I was talking to David Oberg coming in just a minute ago. You know, David, he has a brother who's in Senegal in Africa. He's been over there. David, how many years has he been in Africa? 20 years, over 20 years. He's been in Africa. You know, ladies and gentlemen, because of the message of the Bible, people go. You say, why would that guy go? Why would the people on that board go? Why would 40 or 50 college students go this summer on foreign mission trips to other places in the world? Why would Matt and Jess do that? Why would Jessica Perkins, one of our college students, go to China for 2 years after she finished at UF? Why do people do this? You know why they do it? Because of the message of the Bible. Because how can they hear if they've not heard? How can they hear if they don't have a preacher? How are they going to know about Christ if we don't go? So we're to pray, we're to go, we're to make disciples, and then we're to give. And I want to challenge you to give sacrificially to our Lottie Moon giving this Christmas season. We'll have these four Sundays that we can do that. You know, you can text to our text to give, and you can give to the Lottie Moon offering. It's an option there as well. But I'm praying that we would reach our goal of $20,000 for this offering that will go for world missions. I'd like for us to bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.